empty my cup in order to taste your tea.
Your open-mindedness is cream, but it doesn't change anything. I don't believe in systems, nor in methods.
Cause when there's money in the bank, you can see the vision. I'm Jimmy jamming like I'm Charles, while you merely listen to my rendition. Lyricism is my sole condition. To be so mighty with the pen, I control the rhythm. No opposition to my swatch in my boombox. Duffel bag and a few locks while you watch. Listen harder, fill your cup with muddy waters. And the ice cube, show you a super nice dude. Disciple, but stand on your own, cause no one like you. Search, can I get a verse? Nail.
Alright, y'all, we are doing this again. Episode 135 of Swatches and Boomboxes, the dopest 90s early 2000s hip-hop podcast in these streets. If you want to find our show, you can do that. swatchesandboomboxes@gmail.com. Hit us up. We will email you back. Swatches and Boomboxes on Instagram and Swatches and Boombox on Twitter. If you're wondering whose voice this is Jim Search. You can find me at jimsearchcomedy.com. Go on all social media. Find me at Jim Search. I make Brandon super easy for y'all. Now, that being said, understand that no man is a motherfucking island. There's no way I could possibly be talking just hip-hop by myself, which is why I got one of the dopest co-hosts and human beings on the face of the planet to come rock with me, and I'm going to have him introduce himself right now.
Appreciate you, man. My name is Neil Charles, and I'm coming to you live from Los Angeles, California, specifically Hollywood. And you can find me at neilcharles.com. You can find me on Instagram at Certified Hilarious. You can find me on Twitter at Neil Charles FTW for the win.
And I'll tell you right now, we got a motherfucking win today. We got a very dope album to talk about. It is a staple in the South. But before we do that, I want to introduce our guest, man. This is a two-time Jim Jam Studios guest. We had him on Open Bar Talk, and now we got him on Swatches and Boomboxes. We are very excited to chop it up about this album that we're going to talk about in a hot minute. Very funny dude, and I'm very excited to get into all the things hip-hop related. Pap Johnson, man, how you doing, bro? How you living?
Hello, people out there in podcast land.
In the podcast universe where you are. Yo, man, again, we're very happy to have you on the show. And you picked an album that when it came out, really, I think, like, it was such a huge impact, and I can remember vividly where I was when it came out as a hip-hop nerd. But we, of course, are talking about 400 Degrees from Juvenile of Cash Money Records, which album came out November 3rd, 1998. And, you know, we're obviously going to get into so much about this, but, you know, we do want to talk about where we were when this came out. So, Pap, talk to us a little bit about what was going on in your life when this album came out.
November 3rd, 1998. It was a dreary.
A gloomy day.
I was a freshman at Berkeley High School in the Bay Area, Berkeley, California, known for its hippie dippiness. I remember this album so like vividly because at the same time, I believe the Eminem first album was dropping, and yeah, and the Roots had just dropped the album, and everybody was anticipating the Roots and Eminem's album. And I went to Rasputin's record store on Telegraph, and everybody was trying to get this Eminem. It was a line. Everybody was trying to get this Roots. And then I was like, nah, nigga, check this out. I seen this. If you've seen the video, ha, it's a nigga who raps in solely baby oil. And this album is about to be amazing. And oh my goodness. I'm so proud of Juvenile. I'm so proud of the South. It changed my whole life because, you know, we had Master P, and Master P was good and all that. I love Master P, but that it was a different level of stunting. It was a different level of like niggerdom, however you want to put it.
Perfect word. Yep.
Yeah, I got to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. So yeah, that's where I was at. That's where I spent my lunch money for the week on it. And I didn't eat, but you know, we was in them streets. We was in them streets at that point in time. I was a Cash Money member. I was a soldier. I was out there. Now you can't eat. You just gotta grind, you know, gotta hustle.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, I loved it. You were a paper chaser. You had your block on fire. You know what I mean? Makes sense to me. So, listen, Neil, what about you, man? Where were you when Juve dropped 400 degrees?
Okay, so November 3rd, 1998, I was a sophomore in college, I think. Freshman, sophomore in college. And I was at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore at the time. And now the way that I found out about Juvenile, mainly Ha, because I watched Rap City at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's how on BET, and that's how you would find out about things that weren't like local to you. And in college, it was kind of like a vacuum. We didn't have anything outside of what we saw on TV. And when I saw that video for Ha, I had to tell everybody. I was like, yo, that is dope. Because we would like sit around, like it'd be like eight of us in the dorm room just watching Rap City when that came on. And I was like, yo, that's dope. And I had to campaign for Ha because at first, like a bunch of my friends, they weren't with it. They were like, yo, this isn't dope. This ain't hip hop. He's just saying the word Ha. He's not rhyming anything. And I was like, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's dope. And I've never heard anything like it. You've never heard anything like it. And I was like, watch. In a couple weeks, everybody's going to be singing this song. And that's exactly what happened on campus. That's exactly what happened. And, you know, when you look at that video and you see all the members of Cash Money in there and you see a young Lil Wayne and, you know, them images, that's powerful. And it's like, before that, if you had never been to New Orleans, what did you really know about New Orleans?
Nothing.
You didn't know anything. And then when I saw that, I was like, yo, them projects look, you know, way worse than what I'm dealing with my projects. Like, that is a whole different level right there. Yeah. And, you know, and that was dope. I was like, this man is rapping in front of the projects, and there's a big rain puddle on the ground. And he's just standing there rapping, and you can see the community, see people like in front of the church, people in front of rundown houses and stuff. And that was powerful for me. That was dope. And on top of that, I felt like, you know, just Ha just brought something different to hip hop.
Yeah.
And, you know, and especially, you know, since people was like, well, hip hop is either the East or the West. And then the South came in strong. And, you know, we already had, you know, Outkast and whatnot, and we had Master P, but, you know, in places like New York City, they weren't trying to hear anything else but New York City. So it was a breath of fresh air, and that's where I was. Where were you? Where were you when all this happened, Jim? Where were you?
Oh, man. November 3rd, 98, man. I was in upstate New York. I was in Binghamton. I want to say I was a junior in high school, maybe. Mm-hmm. And just very much like y'all, I remember that video, Ha, when it came out, and I'd never seen anything like it. And to this day, when people ask me, you know, like, what's one of your favorite music videos? Like, this is easily in my top five. Like, I just visually, like, you, I just have never seen anything like that. And just like the way they cut up that video too, right? Like, you know, they have just like different people, right? Just in New Orleans that like you just never seen, like as a East Coast kid, like I'd never seen this before. And then
time stamps
too. It was total time stamp, right?
When the sun went down, it was all bad.
Listen, man, I mean,
in the daytime, they were getting chased by the cops. I was like, when do you get a break? This is horrible.
Yo, man, I mean, and then like to your point too, though, Pep, like I remember seeing Juvenile sitting on the yellow Benz, I think, right? And he's just rapping, and there's just all these folks from Magnolia, and I'm like, this is powerful shit right here. And from that, and it blew up. Like, everyone around me was bumping the shit, right? And, you know, we'll get into it a little bit later, but like, at the time, to have Jay-Z on the remix of your track, oh boy, he wasn't, I mean, like, that's how big this got, right? That's how big this song was. And, you know, it just, and we obviously will be talking about Back That Ass Up, which, like, come on, that is there. How, if I had a dollar for each wedding this song was played at, you would never see me again. I would be fucking paid.
I already know I'm going to love this, the rest of this discussion, because your first East Coast shout out was that Jay-Z was on the remix.
Mm-hmm.
I felt they didn't need to put him on a remix. You know, Jay-Z is not, he's not, we love Jigga. We all mm-hmm. love Jigga. He don't necessarily fit on most Southern beats in music. But
he said, this is a wave. I got to get there. Right.
Yeah, he totally did. I read about that in the source, and Juvenile was like, yo, I never met the fella. But he wanted to be on the record, so there it is.
I ain't gonna say no.
So, Neil, you saw it on Rap City. Jim,
I saw it on Rap City, too.
That's crazy, because on the West Coast, we had this channel called The Box.
I know The Box.
Yeah, I know.
The Box.
I know about it.
That's how I saw the video. One of my best friends was at my house. We used to just play video games in the living room the whole weekend. And for some reason, my mom was cooking and fucking Juvenile's Hive video came on. And we, like I said, that baby oil opened our eyes. And we were dying laughing. And so literally the whole night, we just waited for The Box to play the video, because you know they had their rotation.
Yep, right.
So every time it would play, we just get up, take our shirts off. We be out here, you know, twirling around. All this. My mom was like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? We was like, oh, you gonna make that Kool-Aid, huh? She thought we was insane. And we was like, it started off as a joke. But the more we heard it, it was like, oh, man, this is powerful.
I want to just say this real quick, man. Like, I remember, you know, obviously Ha was the breakout single, one of the breakout singles off this album. But also, like, I mean, there's a video for Follow Me Now.
Yep.
I remember that video. That shit was fire, too. And, like, even just, like, there are songs that I pulled off this album because, you know, this was the days of Napster. But it was, like, I pulled Welcome to the Nolia, which is such a dope song. And then UPT right after that, like. There were some hard hitting fucking tracks, man. Like, it was a fucking dope album, and they had some real bangers on the shit. So, you know, well, let's get into it then. Let's start talking about it.
Yep.
So the intro, we have none other than the great Manny Fresh, open the album, and just like his beats and the beats, they just make me smile. I love his sound, man. And, you know, just his intro and just him as a person. Like, he just, like, how he, just the Southern drawl is just, it just nails it, right? And I think he does Juvie justice in the introduction, right? You know, it's just, you can just see how comfortable Manny is in there, right? And I'll just say this very quickly as a side note. I would go down to New Orleans a lot, like as an adult, right? I've been down there a bunch. And I remember one night, I was at the Hi-Ho Lounge and, And there was nobody in there. And I saw Manny Fresh just chilling, sitting there just by himself, chilling. And I had to go up to him because I love his music. And I was just like, yo, man, I just got to tell you, you know, like, I'm a big fan of your shit. You know, I really dig your sound. And he goes, oh, thanks, baby. And I was like, yep, it's not going to get better than this. That was the highlight of my fucking, that one of the trips I made to New Orleans is Manny Fresh said, oh, thanks, baby. And that was it for me. But you know, I had to put that story in there, man, but it's just, it's a dope intro, man. And then, you know, after that intro, we get right into Ha, which, you know, we talked about at the top, man, just like such a fucking great song, man. And in listening to it, going back and listening to this, in preparation for this podcast, man, like I'd always appreciated it, but just like the sarcasm and like the backhandedness of this song, right? Just like, oh, you got it all figured out then. You figured this out, huh? You got it. You know, like just that energy throughout the whole song is just, it's just fucking dope, man.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the subtleties. I feel like they brought real New Orleans, real New Orleans. I'm not even going to say down south because, you know, Texas motherfuckers going to try to jump in. Right. Atlanta motherfuckers going to try to jump in. Some Mississippi people. It's really just Rich Boy. But we'll try to jump in and be like, oh, the South. It's like, nah, New Orleans is different. And, you know, Master P rap, like we said, New Orleans, all that. But they didn't really give you the sense of the culture and the environment. And that's what Juvenile, they didn't try to change their accents. And, you know, it really hit home. And then when I actually did go to school in New Orleans, that's when I really realized, like, what he was really talking about. Like,
right.
I know you ain't tripping. Don't your brother got them birds, huh? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's how motherfuckers will ask you a question to find out if you a lick or not, you know?
Right.
So
I was going to say, you know what, it's interesting about just like New Orleans. Well, I wouldn't say interesting, but like what it is of New Orleans is just like, you can get got out there in a blink. They will get you. And then at the same time, it's also Southern hospitality. Everyone's really friendly.
Yep.
Like, everyone's really nice, but you get your throat slit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they really get into that shit. Like, you hear it on this album, just how fucking grimy New Orleans is, man. Like, and you know, it's funny, speaking about Ha, like, I mean, they shot it in the Magnolia, and you know, obviously after Hurricane Katrina, it all got knocked down and all that. And then I was there after Katrina, and I went to where Magnolia was, and I was right on the corner of Magnolia and 6th. And I was like, it was such a moment for me because I love this song so much. And I'm like, yo, this is where this shit happened, man. Like, you could feel the energy, man. It's a different place.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, after Ha, we got Go and Ride With Me, which, you know, sounds, it really, like, I feel like Manny really tried to put a Tupac spin on this. Yeah. You hear it too?
Yeah, you can hear it with the piano tone on the beat. You can definitely get that vibe.
Yeah.
Like that mafioso type shit, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of what Rick Ross be doing now, with, you know, just, I'm trying to be gangster, but real smooth about it. But it's, once again, we talking about some niggas from the projects. No one in Cash Money had too much smoothness about them. Everybody was rough around the edges. So it was very fitting. You know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like Godfathers or something. It's like, yo, let's record something right now.
And yeah, like to your point too, Pap, like when you listen to the song, it's just like there's just so much hood shit on here, right? Like, you know, he's like, you know, basically like, you call me on the phone for a bird. That sounds suspicious. Why you calling me on the phone for that shit?
My nine is going to ride with me.
Yeah.
that in itself.
Exactly. And it's so funny because, like, on this album too, and I think this is the first time we see it, but there's just words that are edited out, and it just, like, homicide. I don't know why they pick that out of, because this entire album, so much murder. Right. Like, you know what? We need to do.
But they were like, you know what? We want to make that mainstream money.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to get this played in all households, which also gave birth to, and we'll talk about later, Back That Thang Up. But yes, that is not what it sounded like in the club.
Mm-mm. No
not
way.
That's not what we said.
Not at all. So that's Gone Ride With Me. And then we have Flossin' Season after that, which I have to say this. There, Manny Fresh, when he raps, I'm not supposed to like it, but I do.
It's hilarious.
I love it.
It can't not be hilarious.
Yo, it's fucking great. Again, like, if you've listened to this podcast, you know how much I'm like a lyrically driven listener, right? Like, I'm after, like, wordplay. I'm an East Coast dude, man. Like, that's just what it is. But I listen to Manny Fresh, and I'm like, this is fucking great. A Burgundy Jet? Talk your shit, Manny. Tell me more.
Yeah, and, you know, this album's so good, because it's like a Cash Money showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, Juvenile, Turk, BG was doing their grimy gangster shit. But then you would always get, you know, Manny Fresh, who would come on there, and he would never talk gun shit. It was just about fucking somebody's lady and stunting and big time and shit.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
And then you would have Birdman just come on and talk, literally just talk. Literally just talk. Before he knew how to rap, it was just, I'm a game spitter. I'm going to come in here, talk this big money shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How you love that?
How you love that?
Yeah. I know you love these diamonds, baby.
Solid TVs with the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Which that is in my notes. If that is not a peak 90s flex, is PlayStations in the Hummer? Yes.
Dude, they talking PlayStation 1.
Yes.
We on 5 now. PlayStation 1.
If you had that in your whip, we knew you were doing something.
100%.
There was a moment where Birdman only talked about having cars with the frog eye.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there, like, the amount of just stunting and flossing across all of it. It just, I mean, it was beautiful to watch. I loved it.
They had to set the stage for Bling Bling. That didn't even happen yet.
Yeah, we didn't even
get there. It was on its way. Yup. The rich gangster was already coming in, and they were doing it their way. And it's definitely a part of hip hop.
And it was 100%. Also, but it was also, and I think, you know, obviously there's songs on here that exemplify this, but it's just like, there was a certain level of just like brashness, right? Like this level of just like, I'm going to have like a car that's like gold plated, just like melt down bricks of gold. And I'm making a car out of it because I can. I love that shit, man.
That is so South, man. That is so South. Like, you just, man, you spend some time in New Orleans or Houston, and that's what you can't not see that. You mm-hmm. can't not see it, yeah. No matter where you are.
Ain't got no TVs or CDs. I ain't gonna ride in it.
Jeez. I mean, they was talking about their dreams. I remember, once again, Birdman said, I just bought a stadium. And that bitch on dubs. It's like, whoa, what?
yes. Into it. There's, yeah, it's just, it's such a great fucking world that they paint, man. So after Flossin' Season, we get to Ghetto Children, which is, I would say, the... I want to say like the, not like socio-political, but it's just like pointing out that like, yo, I live in a fucked up environment, yo. And I'm seeing a lot of shit around my way.
Yeah, it's not. I know it's not a talked about track. You know, it's one of those. It's funny because you get so hyped, you get into the album, and then it'd be like, nah, I don't need this. I don't need you to go the Wale route. Like we could.
Yeah.
I came here for gangster shit.
I came here for. I saw the album cover. there's a certain particular. It's a Pen and Pixel album cover that's telling me a lot. And Ghetto Children is not exactly where I want to be with that. But I will say on the song, they do talk about, again, very New Orleans, very peak 90s, Reeboks and Jabos. Like this yep. is, if there was a dress code for this album, it would be Reeboks and Jabos.
That also is, known as Soldiers Down Style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the worst Reeboks possible, but they love them for some reason.
They love them, man.
They like high top cheerleading shoes, but nigga will shoot you those things real fast.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny that like I mean regionally like and I'm sure they like look at like the East Coast just like what the fuck are these Timberland boots y'all got on up there, right? You know. Also, I do want to point out towards the end of this track, Juvenile just goes wildly off beat, but it still works. And I get there's a couple of folks that do it, man, or I'm just like, oh, you just stop staying on beat. And he definitely does that at the end of Ghetto Children, but I'm like, you know what? I'm already committed. So you're the captain of the ship, man. You tell me what we're doing with this. You know what I mean?
You didn't tune in for, you know, for him to do it conventionally, you know? He was going to get some side. You heard hot. You know, sometimes he might miss the beat.
Right. Yeah. And exactly. And then like Ha again was so, to your point, so unconventional, right? That it's just like, yeah, I guess we are going to go off beat. Let's do that.
Yeah. You came for the experience, you know?
I came to see what you have to offer, sir. Now, after Ghetto Children, we have Follow Me Now, which I remember, again, like I was saying, I remember this video, right? Yep. And I remember on the video, I saw it on Rap City. They did like a lyric breakdown of this album or of this song. And they would do it once in a while with different tracks, but it was just like, they just had this, like, what is this song about? Right. And I remember seeing this and I'm just like, oh, this is for people who like really don't know what the fuck's going on with this. Right. Like it was like Rap for Dummies. And I remember seeing that on that video, but yo, this, the beat on this is fucking dope, man.
Oh, 100%.
I got into this. The little Tito Puente sample right there. Which I'm wondering why, because when I like went back to listen to this, this song isn't on like the Apple Music version of this. And I'm very curious if there was some sample clearance that Maybe. Did not, if Tito was not playing with Juve and the good folks of Cash Money.
Who used my shit? Who?
Mm-hmm. Who? Yeah. Nah, I don't get it. They shut it down sometimes because of that. I really always wondered, like, if Juvenile had gotten that go in the Latin community for mm-hmm. this song, because this is all love right here.
Yeah, man. I want it. And just the way he raps, stunting in this bitch, bullets in your car, wherever that you are. Oh man, I'm into it.
It was a very bold choice, and I think it really paid off. It was very well done.
Yeah,
the video was very cool too. This is good. This is good.
It's one of the standouts. What were you gonna say, Pap?
Now that I think about it, I always find it hilarious when these two rap heads talk about people rapping off beat and. I've had somebody force me to listen to Westside Gunna and Conway and Wu-Tang, and I've listened to MF Doom and all that. I'd be like, so is they ever go like catch the beat? is they ever talk at you. Like, yo, he not even rich. Like, bro, have you ever listened to your music before?
Touche. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, I'm very much willing to say that the East Coast also has its occasional standouts who I'm like, all right, so on the two, stay on the two, right? So I want to make that clear that I'm certainly there for that too. So after Follow Me Now, we have the skit. Because again, the 90s, if it brought us anything, it is skits, and they're so important to an album. We have the Cash Money concert, right? Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, we can only guess that this is like a dude doing an Asian accent. Like, you know, what a son. Like,
oh, you say a dude. We know, we can hear that it's Betty Fresh. It's Betty Fresh.
Yeah. I didn't want to give him up, but you know what I mean? You wanted to rat him out on it, but yes, it is in fact Manny who is probably doing I Feel Sorry for Your Mother, which,
yeah,
very referenced Menace to Society, mm-hmm. Which, great film. In its own right. But, you know, again, it's $20 to get in the concert.
And 20 no, yen.
20 yen. Sorry, 20 yen. You're right.
In yen.
you were right. I fucked that up. It was 20 yen. And, you know, we'll see what happens later to our to the characters in this skit. But it is a great lead in to the track Welcome to the Nolia, which, woo. Boy, you throw that shit on, that shit is a fight.
Side note, 20 yen is not a lot of money. Like, if things cost 20 yen, I'm all in. All in for 20 yen.
Sign me up. That's funny, man.
You got to put that on a t-shirt. 20 yen, I'm in.
20 yen and I'm in. Let it begin. 20 yen, let it begin. But yeah, we get it. But so we get into the Welcome to the Nolia, right? Mm. And woo, like I was saying, man, that beat, that shit is a fucking brawl.
Oh yeah, the horns.
Oh my!
You bring the horns in. Dun, 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 dun. And it's funny. That's the funniest thing is that it's literally somebody flipping the Rocky.
I didn't even think about that.
That's what it is. And that's the genius of Manny Fresh right there.
Yep.
You turned Rocky into some nigga from the projects.
He really did. And Juvenile brings the lyrics to the track, man. Like, the song is fucking fire, man. Like, you know, what did he say? You know, bring that boy to the Nolia, put a pistol in his face, make him empty out his pockets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, he's like, you look like one of them boys that ain't never been fucked over. I'm about to change that. Send that boy to the Nolia.
Yeah. And then we get, and this is what I really, really loved about this album. And Old School Cash Money is they would let Manny Fresh just ride out a beat.
Yeah.
A minute and a half after all the rapping. It's like, nah, just go crazy. It's like, it's the rap version of like a guitar solo or something. Mm-hmm. Just like, hey, bro, go ham. Just go ham. We can't rap on this. What you about to do to this? Just do your thing. So...
And he doesn't
bring that back.
You know what I feel like that was for? I feel like, and this is definitely gonna be a time capsule, is I feel like that was for, you know, let me give you something for your answering machine. Just let that rock. Talk over that. That's for you. Y'all, that's for you to put on your answering machine.
I'm not here at the moment. But if you want to leave a message, I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience.
Remember those? Mm-hmm.
Voicemails? Or yeah. voice messages, sorry. But this is one of my favorite tracks though too, man. Like, I mean, I remember when this album came out, this was one of the tracks I ripped off there because I was like, this shit is, you start a fight with this shit, man.
Allegedly.
Yeah, sprinkle allegedly. I feel like the statute of limitations may have passed on it. I hope. I don't know. I'm gonna assume that maybe they did. But then, so after Welcome to the Nolia, right, we get to UPT, which is also a fucking violent song in and of itself, because this is one of the most violent posse cuts I think I've heard in a very long time. There's throat slitting, there's bullets, there's it's just a lot of murder in the UPT.
I mean, you know? And Lil Wayne on this is ridiculous. It's when you start being like, okay.
Yep.
This childish man might have potential.
He
right?
Now I see why they're taking it with this infant. I was confused by that at first, but now I understand.
And we're seeing the shine. And you know who's also wildly underrated and I fuck with pretty heavy is BG.
Oh, yeah.
I fuck with
him. Gangster. He's would be the shots for the SF.
Yeah. You heard me? Like he's one of my favorites. And you know, he comes in on this one pretty hard too, man. But it is it's a dope track, man. I fucked with it. Now after UPT, we get to Run For It, right? Which is like it's like a Juvenile and Lil Wayne back and forth, right? And this one too, for me, like you were saying, Pap, on UPT, on Run For It, you really hear Lil Wayne go, oh, okay, like this dude, I could see this coming through. Like he's a talented motherfucker. Like you see the beginning of it, right?
Yeah,
at least for me.
And it was a platform. It was definitely a platform to launch all these careers. Like even in the title, you know, mm-hmm. it was like featuring, you know, BG, Big Time is in Hot Boys. So
yeah, and this was like a big single for them. For you, it's crazy how many singles came from this album.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, they showcase, like, you can see, like, everybody on this album, he was like, I want to see their project. I want to hear their project. Like, when you heard BG on a track, he was like, when is BG coming out? I need to hear more BG.
Right. Yep.
Except for Turk. No disrespect, Turk.
You know what? You know what's funny about that is that I feel like he could have done more if he didn't have like his problems, his real life problems happening.
Right.
Like, he could have probably did more, but then at the same time, then he also wanted to sue the record label and all that. So
I mean,
your albums is coming out never. So
yeah. I was going to say Birdman is probably was his biggest problem. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I want to just say this real quick, man. On this track, every time I hear it, you know, now, you know, they're talking about the second line and the boy's got a gun. I remember I was at a second line. This was, again, probably 10 years ago, right? And I remember seeing a dude, like, creeping, like, on people I was with. And every time I hear this track, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that time I was at a second line and someone was fucking following us and was like,
the boy had a gun.
There's no doubt he didn't, right? Like, and that's the other thing too. As I kind of go a little bit off track, but it's important to the track, to the album, is that in the South, like, there's gun law. Like, you can carry a gun legally. Like, everyone's got a fucking gun.
Yep.
Right. So, like, literally, yes. Like, when you had a second line, yeah, someone's probably got a gun. So. Yeah. That's just what it is, man. Like, I mean, you can just, I remember being in like fucking stores and shit in New Orleans and just saw a dude with like a Glock on his waist, like on his waist. I'm like, what the fuck? Like
drinking a daiquiri, huh?
Yep, just having a daiquiri, fucking living his life with a fucking heater on his side in case you want a problem.
Yep, open carry states is different.
It is way different, man. Yep. Because look, in New York, you have like the, you know, you in traffic and you start yelling at somebody. It's like, you can't do that down south.
Mm-mm.
No,
that's why it's Southern hospitality. You better treat everybody with some respect.
Be real nice. Be very nice. Yeah,
you're gonna get a good greeting before what happens next.
Yeah, as they say, get your issue.
Yeah. Uh huh. That's right. That's fucking right. So after Run For It, we have Ha, the remix, one of two remixes on this album.
Yeah. The song was hit. It was there three times on this track. That's just let you know. You got three versions of this song.
So we doing the remix, remastered version. Huh? So this is the one with, didn't it have like one with Wu-Tang? It was like 1,000 people on the Ha remix.
Did they? Because this...
so many people where it's like
I feel like a DJ might have put that together and was like, you know what, let me put this in my rotation and I spin this when I'm on, see what happens. And then it probably made its way through Napster and all of those means.
Yep. But you know, this one, so on this remix of Ha, BG's verse where he just says, he says it in so many ways, but he's just like, if you fuck with me, you're dead. It's like, I believe it. Like, yep. Sounds about right.
You got it. <It's> like,
yep. That's, I understand that. And I have no doubt that if someone fucks with you, you're dead. And also, he also points out, and this is a timeless trope of every hip hop song, is that BG fucked your lady. He definitely wants to let you know that. And then all of his friends fucked her too. Because after he fucked her, he's just like, hey guys, you guys want to fuck this guy's girlfriend? And his friend's like, yes, I do.
Yeah, I will say that's the one thing I didn't agree with Cash Money. They were big into group sex.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of that. I don't know. I'm not.
Not a group sex.
Not wired. I'll be honest. Not wired for it. I'm not.
Number one stunner. There were some very questionable lines. I mean, if you want to treat yourself after this podcast, go back to that and listen to it, and you'll be like, there it is.
There it is, yeah.
And that's what that is. There, and that's
you
how
can't
that...
unhear it after that.
Yeah. In the words of BG, in the hotel room, training.
Jesus Christ.
Training all day and night. I thought this nigga was talking about he was like working out or something.
Oh,
nah, man. He wasn't doing dips and push-ups.
not at all.
Oh, he was dipping.
Yeah. In another way.
He dipped all right. But not in the traditional sense of calisthenics. Yeah. I'll say that. That's not what training is in this way. So after Ha the remix, we have Rich Niggas, which pretty straightforward. What we're going to be talking about on this one is niggas with money. That is where we are. And also, Lil, as I was listening to this, Lil Wayne had one of the more clever ways I've heard someone talk about a blank check, where he's like, you ain't really got more money than me. Think about it. Let's just say someone gave me a check with the ink up out of it. And I'm like, that's fucking clever. That's really fucking clever, man. Say what you will about, Wayne, but the dude has some fucking lines.
Yeah, this is before, that's sad. It's like, I don't think we ever saw a Lil Wayne without drugs.
But yeah.
You know, I do love Leaked Out Weezy. I think that was his best time. It was when he was just making all the mixtapes and he was just on lean heavy. And, he, you know, health problems forced him off. But that's still my favorite Lil Wayne by far.
Yeah, I mean, he really there. And I remember watching some documentary about it, but it's like the to see his elevation and progression over that series. It's like, yo, this kid is really trying to go for that crown, man. Like he was pretty undeniable at one point, man. Like dude was in that fucking lane.
Oh yeah, I mean, you've been doing it. It's like the rapper Tiger Woods, yeah, rapper like. Yeah, you've been rapping with grown men since you was a baby. Like, you've been conditioned to only be able to do this. In all honesty, this is, you just been training.
Different kind this round.
Grown for hip hop.
Yes.
That's what for it is. Sure. Yeah.
Now, after Rich Niggas, right, we get to the smash hit Back That Ass Up, which, boy, you want to talk a smash hit. Cash Money Records taking over for the 99 into the 2000. Woo, boy. And this video, too, man. You could see the ladies wanted to back that ass up.
Yeah.
There.
Once again, another glimpse into New Orleans culture.
Yeah.
You only see that in that video, and when you go to New Orleans, does it actually like click for you? Like, oh no, this is something that is just part of the culture. Like,
yeah,
you come home, women literally bend over and start wobbling that ass.
Yup,
I done seen babies on top of cars and Pampers wobble their ass. I done seen it. It is. Ridiculous. It is insane. So thank you.
And I want to also say, obviously, I mean, so much can be said to Back That Ass Up, but there was a remix recently of Vax That Ass Up.
Yup.
Which Juvia and Manny came back. And I want to say, thankfully, we're going to go there, but just on the right side of history of just like, hey, y'all, you wanna start fucking with me? Get your vaccine, then we'll fuck. And it's like, great, whatever it takes. If that's what it is, that's what it is. But there's
never a wrong time to get checks.
No, never
a wrong time. Yep.
And I would have really loved to see how that conversation came to be. How did we get to like? Did they like? Did whatever record label, whoever approach them and be like, yo, do you guys do a remix?
How much money we talking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. I mean,
yeah, we all know about their legal issues, so we know none of them have ever made any money off of their Cash Money music. So and the crazy thing is, I know that the Vax That Ass Up or whatever,
mm-hmm,
went crazy. But I also saw that they did the same remix for like a black dating app.
Really?
Yeah. So they just, I guess at one point in time, they was just getting offers to flip this beat in this song. It was like, do it all. Do it all.
Exactly. Like, however we can turn Back That Ass Up around, let's do it.
Bro, this song, it's like, it had like, something in it that was just psychologically, it was like women would snap, like women 35 and up in stadiums when this song came on would lose it during like a Saints game. If they played this song, it didn't matter who you were or where you came from, you had to wobble it, you had to back it up.
That's what it was. Not subject to negotiation.
Yep.
Would
y'all
say that
on your playlist at the club, like you said at the wedding?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know the rules.
Back that ass up. What were you going to say, Pep?
Would we consider this like one of the most iconic songs? I'm not even going to say rap songs. I'm going to just say songs, because all it takes is that doom, doom, doom.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what's about to happen. Like, you, as soon as you hear people, everybody look up like the meerkats.
Bro, this is feminism right here. This is female empowerment right here, man.
Yeah, so.
Now, to your point, Pap, yes, I think one of the most iconic songs, because you're right. As soon as you hear that boom, boom, it's only going in one direction. Like, you're not mistaking this song for anything else. So yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. Now, after Back That Ass Up, we have Off Top, which is one of my favorite songs. Again, coming back to what I said earlier in this podcast, is Manny Fresh and Baby, when they rap, I'm not supposed to like it, but I do. I love it. It's fucking great, because all the song is about is them just just fucking women and getting blown. I'm like, this is great. Tell me more.
Game spitters. I ain't no rap. I'm a game spitter.
And
people ain't no hoes.
Yeah, correct. And Manny at the end of this says, you know, oh God, he's like, you know, I let that little girl lick on my chain. That is beautiful, baby.
Beautiful, truly beautiful.
It's truly beautiful. Let the ballers through. Why are you baller blocking? Let them come through. Oh God, it's so funny, man. It's just like it's like this line here, like, now here it is, the diamonds for the bitches that I fuck. Not I get the pussy and make like Donald and Duck. Yes. Proceed, sir.
Yeah, and he raps it almost in that same pace too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, and it's just one of my favorite songs. I love it.
Yep. He never said he was the greatest rapper.
No.
He never said that.
But you know what? The fact that he didn't makes him one of the greats for me.
Yep.
You know, the fact that he didn't say it lets me know, yeah, I'm here for it. Now, after Off Top, we have After the Concert, which is our skit, which brings some closure, if you will, to our friends at the beginning of the concert, right? Who, you know, our Asian shopkeeper, who was from the Magnolia as well, he had a gun. And he shot these motherfuckers because they were talking shit. So
they were badass at the club, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, they were talking all that shit. And now what happened, right?
It's I love that skit because it's like, you know, it's I'm pretty sure it's a real New Orleans experience. If you walk in at night, you better be mindful of any car coming up. It's like, I'm about to get my goddamn reeds wet. And fuck them reeds.
Yep.
And we said, you better run, nigga.
Fuck.
Like, why you stay there? You should have ran. As soon as I ran, you should have ran with me.
And there's a reason why I ran. There's a reason. Now, after the concert, we have 400 Degrees. The song title or the album title in a song. And what's hilarious to me, and I, again, in the research for this podcast, I found this out, but the auto tune of You Don't Want to Fuck With Me as the chorus, hilarious. I love all of it. And also, you know, it's great that Juvenile points out that the yellow Mercedes that was in Ha is his. Like, he bought that. That wasn't rented. Yep. I talked about it.
Term, but still was brought back.
It's great. This whole album is fucking dope, but 400 Degrees, the track.
I don't know why it gave me some James Bond vibes when I was listening to this. I was like, I could see this feels like a James Bond song.
I could feel that. I could see that energy.
I mean, come on, 400 degree, and then he just go crazy.
Oh man, it's a hit for sure. Now,
still getting sampled too.
Yeah,
and still, you know, they get Lil Wayne did 500 degrees. I just heard some Bay Area rappers rap over it. Oh, Lil Baby just rapped over it with his terrible crew. So
it's a mainstay like that. Just it's classic. I consider it a classic. So after 400 degrees, we have Juvenile on Fire, right? Which he really breaks down how he feels about love. In this, if he isn't fucking, he's jerking off, and he's turning off the TV and he's going to sleep.
Bro, that was the funniest part to me.
Oh my god!
I was like, yeah, you definitely showed her.
Timeless bars, timeless bars. It's something that stands the test of time. He's letting you know how to handle the situation. You don't got to take the pussy. You know, just beat your dick.
And go to sleep.
Now tell that to your girlfriend. You tell everything else.
This sounds very much like an argument. He's at like the first couple lines of this song. It's like, oh, you're fighting with a woman you're dating. That's what this is. You tell her everything else. Tell her I did that.
She's gonna be with a boyfriend. You're gonna be by your damn self. Oh my god!
It's just chef's kiss.
Yeah, that's therapy. That's like hood therapy right there.
Oh yeah, hell yeah!
And the chorus tells you everything you need to know.
Yep, 100%. That dude, he's doing his thing, man. And he also, I believe, this is the track where he, the outro, right? He's like, yeah, you can have sex with my wife, my girl. He's like, you can fuck her. I don't care.
It's like,
yeah. I mean, I don't think I wouldn't try. I'm not going to get involved in that situation, but I guess it's good to know.
Yeah, that was a lie because people down south do not take kindly to you making moves on it. Like, that's usually how most people die out there.
Yeah.
With my old lady? Come to my old lady?
Nope. Because, yeah, well, but, and it's also because it's like, it's not so much it's about her, it's about you, it's about the disrespect, right? Like, if you come at my lady, you know, you're trying to come at me because you think you can take her from me, right?
Yeah.
And then, as we know, with an open carry state, not.
You know, I think they made a song about that later on. Respect my mind, but get your head knocked up.
Yep. It very much so. All right, so then after that, we have our final track, which is the remix, as we pointed out, with our good friend Jay-Z. And again, it's the second remix, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the Hot Boys on Ha, and then we have Jay-Z on Ha. So Ha makes three appearances, two of which are a remix. And, you know, it's, as you said, you know, Jay showed up, said, you know, this is a song that I need to be on. So here I am.
Do you think Beyonce forced him to be on this remix? She's like, you got to get with
me. Oh. We're in together yet, right?
No.
You might have to do some rap history about that, you know.
Publicly, they were not together, right?
Mm-hmm. They may have been.
Where she said, hey, Jay, why don't you go ahead and be on that track? Okay? That was my glib Beyonce impression. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. but you know, that is our breakdown of 400 Degrees by Juvenile from the Hot Boys and Cash Money Records. And Pap, again, thank you so much for hanging with us. We got one more segment coming up here, which is our top five with a twist. Now, this is part of the show where we take the timeless question of your top five greatest rappers and we put a spin on it. You know, for example, top five rap groups, top five rappers from the West Coast. You get the picture of what we're doing here. So, gentlemen, our top five of the twist for this episode is your top five rappers from the South. I thought in honor of what Cash Money did for the South that we give the South the time and shine that it so rightfully deserves. I open the floor if anybody has their top five. If not, I'm happy to set it off.
I have a question. Can you can you name groups or individuals from the group, or you know,
you can. I'm casting a very wide net here, so you could have top five rap groups from the South, top five rappers individually from the South. It's your list.
Okay.
Who am I? I just give the prompt of top five rappers from the South. So.
Can't wait to make people mad with this one.
I'm ready to go.
All right, set it off, Neil. Set it off, dude.
Okay. So, no particular order.
We want an order.
Oh, you want an order? You want an order?
I need ranked.
I need to be able to slander people with this shit. So.
Ranked. Okay.
Man, yeah, it's your fucking list, man. Okay. You can do whatever you want. Right, Don't listen to Pap. You do whatever the fuck.
Yeah. No particular order. I'm just this is my five. No particular order. All right. So, first person on my list is gonna be Andre 3 Stacks. That's number one. No particular order, by the way. Number two, T.I., King of the South.
Okay.
Number three, man, I like them both so much. I'm just going to put them there. UGK.
Solid.
Number four, and it's no particular order, Ludacris. Ludacris on there. Number five, Wayne. That's my five.
That's strong. That's a solid five right there, man. You know, I'm happy to go next. Give you time, Pap, if you got it. You got yours ready. All right, let me. I'll set it off here. Mine, however, is in order. However, number one for me, and then the rest are in no particular order. So, my absolute favorite rapper from the South. My top five. My number one is Scarface. To me is that dude, man.
That's a Lambert.
That's right, woo boy. You wanna talk respect, man. You respect Face. He's a fucking legend. So that's my number one. Number two, I'm gonna put Ludacris in there. Luda, fucking dope rapper. And we've talked about him on the podcast. I mean, just in terms of lyrics, man. And also if you look at the career as a whole, it's just like this guy's fucking done it all. So that's my number two. Number three, I'm going to go Outkast. I'm going to put them together. I think as a group, you want to talk Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. The album is fucking unbelievably dope. So that's my number three. Let's see. Number four. And this is going to come out of left field a little bit. My number four? Slim Thug. He's out of Houston. He's that dude. And I think for my final, this is tough. I'm going to go Trick Daddy. That is my top five. It is, I've been a fan of him for a very long time. And also look, man, he has as much polo as me. What can I say? can't fault the man for that. So that is my top five rappers from the South. Pap, we leave it to you, sir. Who are your top five rappers from the South?
Okay. Number one.
And this is in particular order.
Oh, yeah. Number one, Future Hendrix. Okay. I rank these like Kanye Judge's music. It's about how it's influenced me.
Okay.
Future, by far, number one. I've been to his shows. I've seen him out sing Rihanna. He's done it all. I've heard him in Africa. He's everywhere. Number one, easily. Number two, Young Thug Thugga. Once again, he makes a lot of music. I like that he sings. And you say you like wordplay. If you actually listen to some Young Thug lyrics and bars, you'd be like, okay, he trying to say something there. Three, I'm going to go with Wayne. I'm going to go with Wayne because, you know, he's made such an impact on the game and whatnot. Four, love Ludacris. That first album, Back for the First Time.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Every game, every road trip I had, I was listening to that. Use the hoe, throw them, but all that shit was getting me in the zone to dunk on niggas and then get the game. So gotta be Ludacris. And then five, the pimp. Pimp C.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
And a lot of people hate when I say this. I know UGK is a great group and all that. Bun B, I respect Bun B as a rapper, but I will die on this hill. He ain't shit without the pimp. I can't wait to make people mad. And if I know y'all rap heads.
Sweet Jones.
Yeah. Every time I hear Bun B, I expect to hear Pimp C on the track. And when I don't, I be like, what the fuck did I just listen to Bun B for? So
God damn. Pap coming in hot.
These are thoughts and views of Pap Johnson and only Pap Johnson.
The thoughts expressed on this podcast are exclusively that of Pap Johnson's and do not reflect the opinions of Swatches and Boomboxes. But a solid list, Pap. Respect you for that. So that is it, folks. That is our top five with a twist, top five rappers from the South. And that is our episode. Make sure you hit us up, swatchesandboomboxes@gmail.com, swatchesandboomboxes on Twitter, and swatchesandboom on Instagram. So Pap, you got anything you want to plug before we get up out of here where people can find you? Tell the world about yourself.
You can find me on all the social medias. Under Pap MF Johnson, PAPP, and you should know how to spell the rest. I'm going to start doing DJ sets on TikTok as soon as they let me go live under the guise of DJ Titty Sweat. That's my DJ name. Play a lot of upbeat music. So yeah, come make your titty sweat with DJ Titty Sweat. And I got a comedy album on Spotify and all the streaming services, Roster Guard 99.
Nice. Please go check that out. Go run all those up for him, man. Pap, we appreciate you, man. Neil, what do you got to say before we get up out of here, man?
Man, all my social media is different. NeilCharles.com, and then you can figure it out yourself from there. Whenever this comes out, on December 4th, you can see me at the Hollywood Comedy at 8 p.m. if you're in Hollywood, California.
There you go. Get at Mr. Charles, man. If you want to find me, of course, I'm at Jim Search on all social media, jimsearchcomedy.com for show dates and shit like that. Go look me up, man. You know, we really appreciate y'all supporting the podcast. We really do love 90s, early 2000s hip hop from all across the regions, man. Down south, out west, east coast. you know, in the United States, man. We fucked with this heavy. This is why we do what we do. But you know what? That's going to do it for us. Pap, once again, man, we appreciate you being on the pod here with us. Make sure you keep listening to 90s hip hop and go back to our old catalog, man. We got a lot of fucking dope hits on there, and we want y'all to go run those up too, man, and tell a friend about our podcast too. That is how people find out about the show. Rate, review, and subscribe as well. And on that note, we're going to get up out of here. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.